It's the Blake Tech Show, show number 534. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for show topics at miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message. The phone number is 240-949-2450, and that's Mike Tech Show, all one word, on Skype. You can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/MikeTechShow, Facebook, facebook.com/MikeTechShow, and also facebook.com/MikeNationNet. Also, we have the wiki at mtswiki.com. There you'll find links to all of the past shows, the show notes, the audio. It's a great resource. I have a jam-packed show with stories from the trenches, a follow-up to last week where I was interrupted a couple times during the show with a client emergency, and I was helping my son who was on site. I want to follow up on everything that happened and what transpired the next day, actually. Then I also want to get to a stack of email, so I have lots to cover. And before we get started, I want to thank Instant House Call. Is the only remote control software and remote support software that I would ever consider using. And they are a sponsor of the Mike Tech Show podcast. It's because I use it every single day for supporting my clients. It's easy to use, easy to install. You have unattended remote access. You can launch, repair utilities remotely to repair a client's system. You can record your session, almost like a training video if you want it, where you can record everything that you're doing and then send it as an AVI file to your client, or just keep it for yourself as a record for everything that you've done. It's incredible, and you can try it free for 15 days by going to instanthousecall.com. Download the trial, enter the promo code MikeTechShow, or just click on the link on the left-hand side of my website at miketechshow.com. So that's Instant House Call. Try it for 15 days. You will love it. And please don't forget to enter the promo code MikeTechShow. Last week was a complicated show and a complicated one to edit. I did get some email follow-ups asking what happened to the video. Well, I was recording on, as a matter of fact, I just started recording right now for Ustream, so recording a little late here for this video. But last week when I was recording the show, I had a pause several times during the recording to assist my son who was on site helping a client. And because of that, I actually mentioned it in the show. Because of that, and because of some of the conversations, I had to delete the recording. There's always two reasons why there's no video. There can only be one. I forgot to record and forgot to click on recording, which tonight's show I just clicked on now, so it's a little late, but you didn't lose any real content. And second, there was content that I couldn't allow to be viewed online like that. So there's maybe some client details or something that came up in the show that I can't allow out there. So that's the only other time that the video would not be available on Ustream. We did an incredible job helping this travel agent on that Thursday night. My son did a lot of cleaning. I remoted in. Everything looked great. We eradicated the infection. I'm headed to a client Friday morning, and I get a call from this client who said, I have another pop-up that is invaded the computer. So we didn't get it all, but it's one of these infections that's not, it's trying to get you to click on to get help with a phone number, and there's an 800 number, and the 800 number, each time on a different reboot, you'll get a different phone number, and it's just trying to get your credit card where you call in, and it's saying, we're Microsoft, we're trying to help you, and it's a scam, and it's a pop-up, but this pop-up, we could still do other things on the computer. You could work around the pop-up, where the initial infection that he had completely took over the computer and you couldn't do anything. And we had to operate from a safe mode command prompt in order to fix things. I said, hang in there. I'll be there in a couple hours. I'll swing by and I will work on that. Well, I was on site when I got there for a couple hours. And what I found, all I had to do, because I ran Malwarebytes Pro, it didn't find anything. I mean, Super Any Spyware didn't find anything. I ran CombiFix again, and it didn't find anything. This was a program that was installed, and I removed it from programs and features. I started looking in there, well, what's running? And once I removed it, the pop-up immediately went away. I was shocked that it was that easy to eradicate the infection. I removed that program, and I actually removed several others that probably weren't bad, but I didn't recognize, and the end user didn't recognize, so we were like, do you need this? Doesn't look like you need it, so let's get rid of it. So we got rid of anything that was questionable. Rebooted the system, we got no more pop-ups at all. One thing I did run that it did find a couple was Rogue Killer. So that's another one that we got to add to our repertoire of programs when we're doing a cleaning. Don't forget about Rogue Killer, because Rogue Killer found a couple things, and that was it. I finally got rid of it. The laptop, his wife's laptop, was still slow, but here's what I was able to diagnose. It's a Wi-Fi issue, not a laptop issue. Once we plugged in the laptop hardwired to the Comcast router, guess what? Everything was fast. So it was just slow internet. If you ran programs locally, they ran incredibly fast. So if you ran Excel and Word, they worked great. But if you were trying to access Facebook or YouTube and trying to pull anything from the internet, then it was slow. So clearly, it was a Wi-Fi issue. I left them to work with Comcast on resolving that because I was there enough hours and I didn't bill them for my Friday visit. So I went back home. They contacted Comcast. Comcast had them reset the router and everything worked for about an hour. And then it went slow again. So I still have a follow-up because I gave them, we were emailing each other and they were going to try to reset the router one more time. And if it was an issue, Comcast said they'd replace the router. I'm like, okay, that was not bad. Then I also offered up, and this has been happening a lot, a mismatch of the chipset of the Wi-Fi adapter in a laptop trying to have a good connection with the Wi-Fi router or access point in a house where you go to an external Wi-Fi adapter, something from Monoprice or Amazon, something inexpensive, little USB adapter, and that works better. So I've had this happen now on three different occasions where going to an external USB adapter was better than the built-in Wi-Fi. And it gives you different Wi-Fi options for connecting to different access points because it's not all the same as we know this as techs or as anybody doing repair or consulting, that you're not going to have an optimal connection all the time, or you're not going to, every Wi-Fi adapter in a computer does not automatically connect perfectly with every access point out there. So having a couple options to connect actually make sense. So if you have an external one, they're worth it to keep. They're only very small. And I buy them, you know, two, three at a time because I end up reselling them to clients to fix a Wi-Fi connectivity issue. So I'm just throwing that out there. Have that in your bag. That's something that you can also use to help with Wi-Fi connections. And we were going to pull that out if a replacement router doesn't fix this issue for my client with the laptop. Client with the C drive filled. I'm at my biggest client, and there was a user in engineering who said, Mike, I am running out of space on my C drive, and he has an SSD drive. The first thing we go to is tree size. Free program, and it quickly lets you know where all of the space is being taken up. Well, we find it's the system volume information directory on a 250 gig drive had 190 gigs taken up. That's almost the entire drive for just the system volume information. That's crazy. So what's in that? That's the restore points. I don't know how it got that big. We looked at the restore point setting and it said 50%. 50% was just way too much. I delete it. You can go into restore point and delete all of the existing restore points. Took a while, but once they were all deleted, we then moved the bar down for how much space do you want to utilize. You want to lower that to something reasonable like 10%. 50% of your drive is way, way too much. So I recommend like 10%. And on an SSD, maybe even less. So we adjusted that, rebooted, and he got all of his space back. So I just wanted to share that as a tip, something I ran into this week. I want to go over just briefly what happened Thursday and why I'm recording this show on a Sunday afternoon. I had every intention to do the show Thursday night. So Thursday, I have my B&I meetings. I actually couldn't go to B&I. Wednesday, let's go back to Wednesday. I have a toothache that's just so bad. By Wednesday night, my tooth is hurting so bad. I can't drink anything. I can't eat anything. I can't chew on the left side. The dentist office is closed. I leave a message. So I figure, all right, I'll talk on Thursday and we'll arrange something. But here's what I did. And this is a non-computer tip for you. If you or anybody else has a terrible toothache, a problem with your tooth. Now, this does not replace seeing a dentist. You have to see a dentist. Clove oil. I'm telling you, to me, it's like a miracle drug. Now, there's a couple ways you can get clove oil. You can go to some natural health store and they sell it because it's all natural. And it's got a horrible little smell. And you definitely don't want to get any of this on your tongue. But you want to dab it just a little bit with a cotton ball on the tooth with the problem. Real quick, if you can't get that, CVS sells, it's a little kit called the Red Cross Emergency Toothache Kit. In it is a small bottle of clove oil, a small box of little cotton balls, and a pair of tweezers. Take the cotton ball, dip it, get a couple drops of the clove oil, and then dab it on your mouth on the tooth that has the problem. Instantaneous relief. Now, it's not going to work for everybody the same way. For me, it worked. Love it, love it. That's a great solution. So now I talk to the dentist and he can't see me till Friday. I have a Friday appointment. On Friday, they tell me that I have to have a root canal through a crown. I now am scheduled to another dentist on Tuesday afternoon where I got to have a root canal through a crown. In between using the clove oil for any kind of pain, I'm also working, I'm also on penicillin because there was an infection. So I'm doing good, and I'm able to eat, I'm able to drink, and make it till Tuesday, not a problem. So I got all this going on Thursday. My wife was supposed to be driven by our daughter-in-law to the train station for going to work because my son Ryan needed her car. And my grandson ended up having to go to the hospital. He's doing better, but there was an emergency on Thursday, and that kind of pushed everything where now I got to take my wife to the train station, and it pushed everything out a couple hours. And now I have a client that I'm installing a new computer, and I'm also migrating data from their old server to a Synology NAS. I have a lot of work to do, and that pushed everything out a couple hours. And I knew it would be touch and go getting close to get back here on Thursday night to do the show. So I canceled the show. And it's a good thing because I didn't get back till after 9 o'clock Eastern time from my client on Thursday. Now, this leads to the story. My client, we got a brand new computer that I built for my client that I had built and put it in place. And we had to move the data. And this is always the time killer. Everybody who has a computer who's not a tech or not a computer person, they don't think they have a lot of data. Oh, I got a few files. Well, he had 60 gig of pictures on his computer. 60 gig. And then his data, which was another 30 gig. We're talking 90 gig of data. So that takes a lot of time. So rather than move it to an external drive and then move it again, we just sent it right to the Synology NAS that he has. But it still takes a lot of time for that to copy. So we had to wait that out before I can start putting stuff back. Now, we didn't put the 60 gig of photos back because he only has a 250 gig SSD. And those photos, he doesn't need to have it on the new system as long as they're archived on the NAS. So we copied that over. At the same time that was all finished, we started the migration of the data from his legacy server, which was an XP peer system. We had to get that because they were out of space, moved to the Synology NAS. Started moving that. It's great. Now, this was cool. They loved that computer so much, ordered another one. We went to all the computers. He's got three other systems that are Core i5. One of them has 8 gigs of RAM. The other two had 4. So I was like, wow, let's just put an SSD and add some more memory, and I'll just redo Windows on these systems because they're Dell Optiplexes. One of them is a 790. It's got a Core i5 and 4 gigs of RAM. We could easily add 4 more gigs of RAM, put an SSD. That system's going to be killer. I so recommended that we laid out the purchases for RAM and some SSD drives. Now, the one user is the system's so old, he ordered another custom built computer. When we're done, all of his systems are going to be kick butt systems running fast with the Synology NAS as the peer server. Beautiful. This office is going to be running great. We've got all that stuff ordered, and we're going to pick a Saturday, and I'm just going to go up there and spend all day working on updating all the computers and then putting this new system in place, and then all of his systems are going to be flying. And what a great way to improve performance. And I want to get everybody to Windows 7 right now because Microsoft, in the fall, we know they're coming out with Windows 10, and it's going to be a free upgrade from all Windows 7 and Windows 8 systems. If you are in the tech business where you're consulting or you're a repair guy, you are going to be overwhelmed with work, or at least you should be, because every one of your clients that you've ever visited or ever touched is going to want to go to a free upgrade to Windows 10. And you want to position yourself to start practicing with Windows 10, and how are you going to migrate them? So when the final release is out, you want to practice going from Windows 7, going from Windows 8, going from Windows 8.1, Are you going to do an in-place upgrade? You want to test that versus, and I don't recommend that, but you may have to based on the situation, but doing a clean install where you want to process down of backing up all the data, like using FABS Auto Backup 6 for backing up everything, and then putting Windows 10 on, and then recover, and then restoring the data. The lure to all of your customers are going to be that free Windows 10 upgrade, but you're going to be able to charge for your labor, and that's where you're going to make the money. I already have clients lining me up for the Windows 10 upgrade. They're already said, Mike, if this is a free upgrade, I want all of our systems upgraded to it. I said, no problem. I will put you in the queue. The ones who contact me outright before I get a chance to contact them, they will be migrated first. I am going to arm myself with a team. All of my kids can, anybody I come in contact with that I know that I can train on how to do these upgrades, I'm going to have an army of techs that I am going to launch on anybody that wants to do the upgrades. And I'm planning on that for the fall. This should be the time where you should be busy every day doing those upgrades. And you should be just stacking your clients and scheduling all of these Windows 10 upgrades. You should start planning for that for this coming fall for that work. What a great opportunity to take advantage of. Almost like the XP I took advantage of, and you should have took advantage of the XP coming off support. Anybody that had XP needed to upgrade to Windows 7 automatically. Some of them needed new hardware. Some of them didn't. So we just did nuke and pave, just backed up everything, restored everything. I'm laying that out there to give you thoughts on planning your business and how you can start to plan for that set of work. It's a great opportunity if you're consulting or doing any kind of repair. This is from Kevin, and it's a series of emails that I've had for a few weeks here, and he received his Surface Pro 3 for testing and possible deployment to some of our execs. And have you had to install .NET 3.5 yet? And it's a feature within Windows 8.1. I've had some success and some issues with the .NET, and especially on the Surface. His issue was on a domain, and it was the WSUS. And you need to be aware of this, and there's a reset procedure. Sometimes you get an error when you're trying to do an update, and if it won't install, it's looking for a domain or looking for somewheres on your network to pull the updates where you want them to go to Microsoft Update. And you have to run some utilities, and there are some fixes to repair Windows Update that will fix that. He had to uninstall the Knowledge Base 2966828 prior to my successful .NET 3.5 install. It didn't seem to help, but as I returned to the system to the original, I noticed this is an update for .NET 3.5 that was released on 8/2014. So it might have some bearing. So I thought I'd throw that in. Here's what he had to do in order to get this, to get rid of this error code and a problem. He had to open up the local group policy editor and computer configuration administrative template system, and he had to enable specify settings for optional component installation and component repair. And then he had to select contact Windows Update directly to download the repair content instead of Windows Server Update Services, which is WSUS option. Apply the changes and perform the GP update with the /force option. And then now the group policy is updated and he was able to fix this. Well, I want to add something about the Surface Pro 3. You know I love it. It's a great hybrid laptop tablet. I use it. I have clients that use it. Now, you remember the client story where my client with the Surface Pro 3, he dropped it. It fell off the car and it cracked. And then I backed everything up and Microsoft replaced it. Well, Microsoft replaced it with, I was stunned, with the original Surface Pro 3 Windows 8.1 build with none of the firmware updates. Now, the Surface Pro 3 has had major issues along the way with power options, with the pen, with use in being able to charge in the docking station, and they've had several major firmware updates that have to be applied. It was brutal. It was hours upon hours of updates coming and different firmware updates that I had to wait for. It took forever. Well, one firmware update failed, and there's no fix. And this is for the touch pen firmware update. There's a yellow exclamation point there. When you Google it, Microsoft says contact Microsoft support. He now, after going through all of this and having this now for a few weeks, he has issues where some days it doesn't even boot. There's all kinds of problems. It all goes back to this firmware update. He's got to take that into Microsoft Store and get it fixed. There's no fix for this firmware update. So I wanted to let everybody know, if you are applying firmware updates, and this should go with any device, but especially the Surface, you must let it alone, have it directly powered. And if it's an early firmware, do not set it in the docking station. Okay? Have it out of the docking station. Have it completely connected to a power source. And you got to wait it out. It looks like it's not booting. You got to wait. Don't hit the power button. Don't interrupt it. You have to wait this out. It will eventually restart. And there was one moment where I watched it restart 7 times in a row where it didn't even fit. It like just put the Surface logo and then it said updating and then boom, it went blank again and it started rebooting again. Almost to like, I thought it was in an endless loop that there was a problem. There's no problem. You must be patient and you must allow all of the updates to happen and they have to be successful in order for you to go forward. I've been very fortunate with my Surface Pro 3, but there's a lot of people out there that have issues with the firmware. And I don't know any other way to fix it. I'm glad Microsoft's fixing all the issues and sending these firmware updates, but there has to be an education to the users that when this is happening, you have to have the patience of waiting it out and letting it finish, and then all will be better. Keep that in mind, especially with firmware updates. This email is from Pete. Seamless Wi-Fi access points. And this is way back. I emailed him. In a recent show, you talked about setting up multiple Wi-Fi access points for a customer with a huge house and setting them up to seamlessly roam between them. Could you remind me what show that was and the make and model of the access points? I'll put the make and model in the show notes again, but I did email Pete, and I will put a mention to the show because I go into the great detail of setting up the access points for that ASUS router and how to make it room. This is from Austin, and he needs a recommendation for wireless headphones. Now, I'm not big on wireless headphones. Can I get recommendations from you? Let me know if you are a wireless headset, what do you like? Here, I like wired because there's so many things that can interfere. And even my kids and my youngest, who is a gamer, believes in wired headset, not wireless. So if you're wireless, what is the brand best bang for the buck? So we can let Austin know. This is from Ed. And you had a client that had upgraded their Windows 7 Pro to Windows 8.1 and had lost their Office program. I am a system admin for a company, and I had a fellow system admin upgrade their desktop and ran into the same thing. These documents were still there, but all their programs were gone. I thought it was kind of strange, so I spun up a virtual and installed Windows 7 and did the upgrade to 8.1, and it did the same thing. The problem is that the correct way to do it is to upgrade from Windows 7 to Windows 8 and then to Windows 8.1. Oh, what a pain. Just jump to 8.1 and do a clean install. If you do it that way, your programs will stay after the upgrade. You have a great show, and thanks for sharing. And this is Ed from Georgia. Ed, thank you. What a pain to have to go from 7 to 8 and then 8 to 8.1. I'd rather make the 8.1 and just jump right to 8.1 and do a clean install. That's why I like clean installs, and then having the product key and be able to reinstall Office. And if it doesn't work, as long as it's a legitimate key and you're upgrading your system, you can always call Microsoft to get the key to work. This is from Robert. First of all, great show. A big thank you for all that you do and for taking the time out of your busy schedule to educate and share your stories from the trenches. One of the utilities I like to use for cleaning a system, and I had forgotten about this until the last Tech Vets of 2014, and Carrie mentioned it, is the Windows Disk Cleanup Utility. I have started using it, and I'm amazed at how much disk space that you can free up with this utility. He's right. They've updated that Windows, and it is very good. In some instances, I have freed up between 10 and 15 gigs of disk space, and then I run CCleaner to take care of the rest of the files. As you mentioned, ESetNod32 back a few shows back, so my Redroot web root subscription ran out, and I decided to kick the tires and try it. So far, I like it. I was worried about how well it would work with Malwarebytes Pro. They both work great together. One of the features is the fact that you can set it to warn you of potentially unwanted programs that might get installed on your system. This is a feature I wish more antivirus programs had. It gets really old sometimes when people bring their computers in with all these bogus programs installed. They get upset because they don't understand why their antivirus does not catch them. And I have to explain to the client that those programs are being allowed to install and how people have to pay attention to what is going on and not just click next. Oh, yes, absolutely. But then again, I guess I should thank these people who put those nasty programs out there because it puts food on the table. Anyway, thanks for the great show, Robert. Thank you. And just a postscript to the story of the travel agent that my son was working on that first big infection. How did he get it? He was told to download Firefox. Well, what if you go somewheres and you think you're downloading Firefox, but it's not Firefox. And you're being asked a bunch of questions, and you just go next, next, next. And guess what? You're infected, and your system gets overrun. He thought he was downloading Firefox, but it was a bogus download. He said yes to everything. And if you say yes, there's no program in the world that's going to stop this. And people don't realize that. And they want to know, and I get this, and I'm sure you've been hit with this, where you've set up a great procedure. You put good antivirus, you put Malwarebytes Premium, you've put Web of Trust for their browsers, you've put AdBlock Plus, but they still get infected with these potentially unwanted programs and different anomalies that they don't want. Well, that's because they're not practicing safe surfing, and they're clicking on yes, they don't realize what they're downloading, and they get infected. So I do see reinfections because the end user does not know how to handle the different prompts. And that's an education that has to happen, where you have to educate everybody how to handle downloading. And I recommend always, I have a segment of clients that they are very afraid to download anything without asking me. And I don't mind that, because then I'll send them the link. If they want something, they want a program, email me, let me know, and I will send you the link where to download it. So this way, they're not going to be scammed. And you know, you've seen it. You've been to a website that even is innocent and looks good, and there's areas that looks like, oh, that's where you click to download. Well, no, it isn't. That's not where the download is. And I've even been conned into, oh, man, that's not, you know, and had to stop something, you know, from running or downloading. I mean, it's so vicious out there. And I can see why people are lured in, because you have all of these different phishing scams going on all these different websites where they're getting pretty clever. It's making it very hard for even savvy users, you know, are downloading and getting infected because they're being conned into thinking that they're downloading the right program. This is from Jason, and this is for Steve from Pittsburgh. GFI is what the listener should use for monitoring of hard drive updates, viruses, and memory usage. Also, you can control updates. Also, you can do web filtering. And it doesn't matter if PCs are in the office or not. All of this can be controlled from a central control panel. Also, tons of other things. And all of this would only cost you $2 per PC per month. And that's GFI. Jason, as always, recommend it. GFI, and a lot of you have, and I've always said I got to take the time to use it, and I haven't. And this is Steve. You should look into GFI for helping you out for the monitoring of the different computers. This is from Mark. Two simple methods for accessing an OS when malware takes over the screen. Mike, in the latest Mike Tech Show, I listened how your son was having difficulty running malware removal tools because the malware took over the entire screen. Here's two different methods that I've used. Boot to safe mode with command prompt. Well, that's what we did. And then when the command prompt appears, run explorer.exe. This should run the explorer shell without the malware. Then run Hitman Pro Kickstart, a bootable flash drive that allows you to bypass the normal boot options and run Hitman Pro. Love the show. Keep up the good work. Mark Cobb, thank you so much. Some great recommendations. This is Terry from Arizona, and he had that mess with upgrading to Windows 8.1 and all the different issues of upgrading. And then we have the great website from Microsoft to download the right build to be able to install. And this is a follow-up. I recently told you about reinstalling Windows 8.1 on a bare drive from a Microsoft ISO download. After I installed Windows 8.1, I was missing the wireless and USB 2.0 drivers. The drivers on the Dell website did not work even though I had the Dell service tag. I had to use Slim drivers to download those two drivers. Do you have any recommendations for another free program to download drivers? Thanks, Terry. I do not. So some recommendations. What do you do when you're stuck with not being able to get the drivers you need, but you got to get them? So what do you do? Let me know. That'd be great to share with everybody. Bill sent me an email where he has a client where he's having problems with a computer not being able to constantly communicate with the peer server, and it's Windows 7. And I'm going to dig up. There's a hot fix. There's a registry fix that you need to apply on the server. And then here's what I want you to do. This is an oldie but goodie trick. Anytime someone's losing the connection of a map drive or a network drive, turn off the settings to sleep for your network adapter. So I want you to go to Control Panel. I then want you to go to Network and Sharing Center. Go to Change Adapter Settings. Right click and click Properties on your network adapter. There's a Configure option. Go to Configure. 9 times out of 10, there is some kind of power management tab. Click that and uncheck allow the computer to turn off this device to save power. No, I don't even know why they allow that. How can you build a network adapter? I don't even understand why you would ever want your network adapter to go to sleep. I am so tired of this energy conservation. It's why I will not recommend Western Digital Green Drives. That's it. I won't give them a look at all. Turn off. This is an incredible tip for every network adapter that you ever come across for any operating system. Turn off the sleep mode and the power management for that network adapter. Don't let it go to sleep. And guess what? That solves 90% of your attachment issues. So, Bill, I want you to look at that first. And then I'm going to find this other fix. And I am going to put it in the show notes. I want you to apply that. And I think that's going to solve your client's problem. And then let me know. That's it for tonight's show. If you purchase anything from Amazon or know anybody buying from Amazon, please use my Amazon link. That's amazon.mikenation.net. Your price remains the same, but a small percentage comes back in commission to help support the Mike Tech Show, and I really appreciate that. Also, Tech Nibbles, computer business repair kit. It's the computer business kit version 3 that if you have a repair business, this kit is a must. And I'm going to have a link to that. Also, an invaluable utility I cannot live without. And it's what's going to make a difference when anytime you're going to be upgrading someone from one operating system to another or moving them from one computer to another. And that's FABS Auto Backup. FABS Auto Backup 6, version 6 Pro. Phenomenal. Just use that to migrate all of that data from my client where I was moving it to the Synology NAS that I talked about, the story. Well, it was FABS Auto Backup that was doing that. And the 6.0 interface is beautiful. I love it. It's great. I'll have a link in the show notes for that. That's it. I will see you regular time next week on Thursday night. Same time, same channel. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.